You know, you're an evangelical Christian. You've been a pastor. If you saw that Israel was committing acts of genocide, you wouldn't sit there and defend it and accept it, given your background, given your moral character, would you?
Absolutely not, Mark. And the fact is, I'm an eyewitness to what is actually happening, not what I got from the Al Jazeera news source, which is pro-Hamas, not from the Gaza Health Ministry, which is Hamas. No, I get my information firsthand. I live here. I'm with it every day. I'll tell you this. If Israel is committing genocide, Mark, they're really bad at it. They're terrible at doing genocide, just like they're terrible at doing apartheid. This is the only real democracy in this part of the world where people vote, elect their own officials. They have free speech. They have freedom of movement. It's an extraordinary country. And one of the reasons that America and Israel have such a relationship is because we share the foundations of Western civilization, based, by the way, on a Judeo-Christian moral foundation. What I see here is a society that says some things are right, some things are wrong. They're not right or wrong because we like them or don't. They're right or wrong because God put them in our planet and said, live this way. I don't understand the just hatred that the Jewish people in general get and that the Israelis get. They're not perfect, but neither is any other country on earth. But the Israelis do a doggone good job of trying to protect innocent human life. They do an amazing job of trying to prevent collateral damage. And I wish that they would get credit for some of the things their military does to protect Gazans, the civilians. No other country, including the United States, takes the steps they take to try to minimize civilian casualties.
Well, that was the voice of Mark Levin, one of my favorites, a longtime friend. Along with Mike Huckabee, who is now the ambassador to Israel. And Mike Huckabee is speaking up in defense of Israel because, as you know, Israel is being accused of all kinds of things. When last we spoke of this last week, they were accused of bombing, striking the only Catholic church in Gaza. The Pope was railing over it. Michael Knowles and other pundits were not believing the fact that Israel said, we did not target that church. It was a shrapnel, a piece of something that hit it. The church is not destroyed, even though they made it sound like it was. Accusing Israel of that, when why would Israel bomb a church? To what end would they do that? A Christian church, and alienate really their best friends in all over the globe are believing Christians. But that's what they're being accused of. They're accusing Israeli settlers of killing people. I just saw a new story this morning. A U.S. citizen dies following Israeli settler arson attacks in the West Bank. And then we have another one from Tucker Carlson. And he claims this is how he describes Gaza. Humans treated like animals. Machine guns and tank rounds fired into crowds. The slaughter of civilians. The ugly and underreported truth is that the Israeli government is committing these atrocities and the United States is supporting them. Well, there's no truth to that. Mike Huckabee actually went to the place where the food is. I'm sure there are several places, but they're claiming starvation. It's not the Israelis' fault. And I'm not in the business of telling you every detail of these stories, not today, not on this show. But I just want you to know that Mike Huckabee went to that place and completely refuted all of that. Hamas is making this up. They always do that. They starve their own people. They don't care about life. They don't care about life. They use their children and their wives as human shields. You surely must know that. That is Islamic. That's just what Islam does. Osama bin Laden, when they came after him after all those years, he put his wife up in front of him so our special forces would shoot her, not him. This is the way they roll, as it were. And so the lies they're telling about Israel right now are really, truly unbearable. But that's just a portion of the lies we're being told in our culture about lots of things. And we're learning this. Our eyes are opening up, whether it's transgenderism, whether it is just the role of women, that women can be everything they want to be. I'm sorry, that's not true. Women cannot lift weight like men. They have 30% upper body strength, less upper body strength. There are lies that there's global warming. The planet's going to, we're going to implode in 12 years and be destroyed. All of these things. And the only place that we can really find truth is the God of all truth. Yes, global warming is not mentioned in Scripture, but there are principles and things that help us to understand. COVID is not mentioned in Scripture, but there are principles and things that we guide, things that we use to measure these things to know whether they're true or not. And there is a vacuum of that, just the reference to God's Word on these issues, I think, in the pulpit. You've heard me say it many times. Pastors are not, have not, in the last several decades here, been willing to take on the difficult issues, and they've gotten quieter and quieter as things have gotten worse and worse. And they open up their Bibles to, you know, the book of Luke, which we all love and we want to hear it, but we also need to know what's happening outside the walls, where we live, where our children go to school. How should we think about this? How shall we live? That's what's missing. And so today I'm going to talk to you, to someone who's going to kind of offer a solution to that. And so please stay tuned, because I think you'll be riveted and I think you'll want to listen. And speaking of children, you know, children are a gift from God. And every day, thousands of women across our nation are facing unplanned pregnancies with nowhere to turn. Right now, nearly one in four pregnancies ends in abortion. And that's over 3,000 lives lost every single day. But through Preborn Network clinics, there's hope. These clinics provide free ultrasounds that introduce a mother to her baby, and that moment changes everything. Over 350,000 babies have already been saved through this life-giving work. And it doesn't stop there. Mothers are being introduced to Jesus, that truth thing I talked about. It doesn't matter. It's like if you feed someone who's hungry, but you don't tell them about the bread of life, you've only done a half job. We don't want to just save babies. We want to save people for eternity, their lives and their hearts. So the mothers are very important in this equation with Preborn. Mothers like Valeria, who thought she didn't deserve to have a child until her search led her to a Preborn Network clinic. And now she has a beautiful daughter who is already spreading life to others. This is happening every day because of your generous support. So all that to say, will you continue to help Preborn? Some of you are doing that on a regular basis. Others of you are doing it occasionally. Can you just consider what God might have you do today, maybe a little differently, more than you've been able to commit into the past, or just continue what you're doing? If that's the case, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. Our home base is AFR.net. That's AmericanFamilyRadio.net. But all other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever you like, Amazon, whatever you listen through, we are there. You can find us on social media, all the platforms. You can follow me on X and my Twitter handle. Isn't that lovely? I remember when they used to start saying that, I thought it was so funny. I could hardly bring myself to saying it. And now I'm saying it. It's at Sandy Rios Tweet. That's at Sandy Rios Tweet. All right. Well, today, and a surprise, surprise, you're going to hear from a former Chicago Bear turned pastor. And just as he was mighty on the field, he is mighty in the pulpit. His name is Paul Blair, and he's the founder of Liberty Pastors. You don't want to miss this on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
We are commanded as Christians to support the government of Israel?
We are commanded to support Israel. And we're
what does
told,
that mean, Israel?
We're told those who bless Israel will be blessed.
But what? Hold on, define Israel. This is important. Are you kidding? This is a majority Christian country.
Define Israel? Do you not know what Israel is? That would be the country you've asked like 49 questions about.
So that's what Genesis, that's what God is talking about.
The nation of Israel, yes.
And is that the current borders, the current leadership? He's talking about the political entity called Israel?
He's talking about the nation of Israel. Yeah, nations exist, and he's discussing a nation. A nation was the people of Israel.
Is the nation the descendants God's referring of Abraham. To in Genesis, is that the same as the country run by Benjamin Netanyahu right
yes.
now?
Yes, yes.
It is. Okay.
And by the way, it's not run by Benjamin Netanyahu as a dictator. It's a
I'm
democratic
not saying
country
he's a dictator.
That elected.
He's the prime minister.
Right.
What?
But just like, you know, America is the country run by Donald Trump. No, actually, the American people elected Donald Trump. Same principle
this is
there.
Silly. I'm talking about the political entity of modern Israel.
Yes, and that is
you
that is
believe
Israel.
That's what God was talking about
yes.
in Genesis.
I do. But
that country's existed since when?
For thousands of years. Now, there was a time when it didn't exist, and then it was recreated just over 70 years ago.
But I'm saying, I think most people understand that line in Genesis to refer to the Jewish people, God's chosen people.
That's not what it says.
Okay, Israel, but you don't even know where in the Bible it is. So
I don't remember the scriptural citation. But, okay, I keep...
It's like Genesis 16 or something like that. But yes, it's in the earlier part of the book. But the point is...
All right, Tucker, you keep interrupting me before I finish my sentence.
No, it's just important to know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're... So you're saying as a Christian, if I believe in Jesus, I have to support the modern state of Israel?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm explaining for me what my vote motivation is.
God tells you to support the modern state of Israel in the Bible, in some place in the Bible that you heard about, but you don't know where it is. That's your theology?
Okay, so that was, we visited that debate between Senator Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson a few weeks ago in great detail. You can see there that we have a lot of confusion in this culture and among Christians, tons of confusion. And I've talked a lot about Israel lately, but honestly, I am upset about the confusion in the culture on almost everything, whether it's marriage or gender or illegal immigration. I have felt for a long time that America's pastors are failing their people. We are the salt and light. We are supposed to be delivering the truth to the culture, and yet what we have is complete confusion on so many important issues, including Israel. Well, today I want to introduce to you, it's not the first time he's been with me by far, but he's the founder of Liberty Pastors. Because Liberty Pastors, let me read the mission to you. The mission of Liberty Pastors is training pastors to think biblically in every area of life, including the realms of civil government, economics, human sexuality, charity, and family, and then live out their faith. So many claim to be followers of Christ, but do not. Statistician George Barna reports that 2/3 of pastors and 94% of professing Christians do not have a biblical worldview. Well, this is the passion for Paul Blair, who is my guest this morning. And you'll remember in the past when we've talked, but you need to be reminded he's a former Chicago Bear. And that's, of course, why I'm attached to him. But he has a lot more to say. His life has been very full since he went into full-time ministry. He has Liberty Pastors training camps. He's the pastor of Liberty Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and in Orlando, Florida. And with that, good morning, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Sandy, it is always a joy to talk to you.
So, Paul, we're getting close to the 250th yeah. anniversary of this country, and I know that you're real keen on being part of that, so am I. But I'm just curious, you think people know this, but I don't think they do. What role did pastors play in the revolution and in the founding of this country, in a word?
Oh, 100%. If it was not for the pastors, there would not have been a United States of America. And really, you go all the way back to what began as little more than a church relocation project. When you look at that group that had separated from the Church of England and looking for religious liberty and, quite frankly, civil liberty, they left England, they lived in Holland for a while, but that was not working out well. Things were ebbing towards war with the Muslims, again, between the Holland, and there was concern about their future. They were trying to decide what to do next. They considered going to Africa, but that was not good because of the Islamic influence. And finally, that group led by William Bradford and others that we know so well, John Carver, others, they wound up deciding to settle in the New World. Of course, you know, King James was just glad to get rid of them and made allowances for them to do this. They were settling on his behalf, and they were out for, they weren't causing him any problems at that point of view, so he had nothing to lose. And, of course, you know, they established the first colony in Plymouth. And that was such a unique colony because they had been blown off course. They were supposed to land in Virginia, and their charter was for Virginia. So they were really in no man's land, and they were actually could have been in a state of anarchy. But they knew they could not survive in the wilderness if they had done that. So following their own church constitution, understand how groundbreaking this was. You know, under the Anglican Church, it was top-down control, beginning with the king, then the archbishop, then down through other bishops and to every church across, parish across England. Well, the separatists did not believe in that top-down government. They constituted their own churches. So the people got together and established their own church congregation. That's where the Congregationalist Church was born out of. And then they would elect their own leadership. They would elect their own pastor, elect their own deacons. And when they got to New England and being off course, therefore the charter from their king was of no value, they followed the model for their church government and established their civil government, where the people, with the Mayflower Compact, for the first time in history, wrote out a constitution that they would be governed by. And they weren't going to be governed by a ruler, but they would be governed by the law. And that was the first time. And you look, there are some six New England states, you know, going through Connecticut and Rhode Island and on up north of Massachusetts, that all were formed by separatists and by Puritans that had migrated there. And that was the birth of what we really know as American exceptionalism. And, of course, the Bible was their ultimate standard, which was incorporated by Thomas Jefferson and the drafting of our Declaration of Independence. You know, that's one of the reasons we have such conflict right now in the United States of America. We cannot function unless we all are playing by the same set of rules. Somebody has to be the decider of what truth is, what is right, and what is wrong. You know, what is the design of marriage? Is murder okay? Is stealing okay? Is lying okay? Somebody has to set the standard. Well, it's not up to me to set the standard or you to set the standard, quite frankly, even a vote of the majority. But, you know, but Thomas Jefferson stated that everything that they were doing was established upon this truth, natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God. And if you look up that definition, that's not just poetic prose. That was actually a legal term defined in the second most popular set of books in the colonies, the Blackstone's Commentaries on Law. And what the laws of nature and nature's God was a biblical worldview. It was God, our creator, that established what right and wrong was. And we can only fulfill or pursue our one true and substantial happiness if we have the freedom to pursue God's will in our lives, whether that be owning a business or having a family or whatever God allowed us to do. So that is the foundation of the United States of America. And, of course, over time, there began to be great impositions on the liberty of the colonists. And ultimately, what happened was there was an act called the Declaratory Act, and in the fine in some of the details, the King of England was wanting to reestablish the Church of England over all the colonies. So that meant their religious liberty was going to be gone. The whole reason they came there in the first place was going to be gone, their civil liberty and religious liberty. And that is what motivated those pastors to pen powerful sermons and educate the people. As a matter of fact, they didn't turn on Fox News to be educated about civil government. They went to their church, and it was their pastor that educated them on the proper role of civil government according to the Bible. In fact, the first shots fired, the shot heard around the world in Lexington and Concord, was actually fired with some 700 British redcoats on the march to confiscate weapons from the colonists. And there were some 77 Minutemen from Lexington led by Pastor Jonas Clark, and his deacon, who happened to be a veteran of the Indian Wars, and they had a line there, and those were the very first shots fired for independence in a churchyard in Lexington with a group of men that had been trained and led by their pastor and their deacon. So, yeah, absolutely. The whole reason for our being here, going from the Pilgrims to the signing of the Declaration of Independence, was the pastors. They were fiery men of God, and they recognized, you know, having come out of the dark, you know, they were just a couple of generations from the Dark Ages. They understood what tyranny was.
So and life without men, God. Life without God, yeah, in the dark.
Absolutely.
Paul, I was just remembering, and we're going to talk about Williamsburg, Virginia for a specific purpose, but I'm remembering the last time Bruce and I were there, they have a meeting area that's one of that was, I don't know, Williamsburg was the first capital of, I don't know which part of the Constitution it came in, I think before the Constitution, but they had this big round building, like a meeting room for the people of Williamsburg, and the point I'm going to make is that to them at that time, governing, church, morality, behavior, laws, everything was one piece. There wasn't a separation. And I remember them, the guide at the time told us that on Sunday mornings, the entire town would meet in that building and they would take roll. And if people didn't come, they would go to their house and pull them out. And the reason was not to force them to worship, but it was that's where they found out what was happening in the community. It was a whole of a governance thing, and then they had church there too. And so I just think they did not establish a church. They were so keen not to have a state right. church, but it was the fabric of their life. And that's why it's so strange, isn't it, to see that we've been, that whole notion, false notion of separating church and state yep. has poisoned our country at this point. Let's just take a break for a second in the narrative here to talk about Williamsburg, because you have pastors' training camps around the country. Mm-hmm. You do this year-round, as far as I can understand, and you're getting ready to have one in Williamsburg, Virginia, and it's August the 18th through the 21st. Now, I want people to know what you're doing, because it's really phenomenal, and I think pastors, some pastors might be listening, and they might be interested, and I hope they will be. So tell them the scope of what you're doing, Paul.
Well, it's a gift to pastors in one respect, but we also want to be able to pour into them some things that they were not taught in seminary, and then hopefully encourage them as they become friends with other pastors from the area and even from across the country. But we start out on opening night, and we tear out this myth that there is a compartmentalization in our lives. And quite frankly, you know, Sandy, if we get to talking about Israel at all, it really kind of ties back into that. But, you know, the early church was 100% Jewish, so they had a Hebraic worldview. But by the time you get to the year 150 and on, the church was predominantly Greek. And if you look at the church fathers, they all were heavily influenced by Platonic Greek thinking, which divided the world. Actually, it came out of the Gnostic world, where everything was divided between the material world, which was inherently sinful and irredeemable in their view, and then the spiritual world, which is the only thing you needed to focus on. Well, the Hebraic understanding was God created us to glorify Him in everything that we do. So we open up on opening night and teach on this, and we ask these pastors, what part of your life is Jesus not the Lord over? Write down that list, and those are the areas that you're not supposed to teach about in church. Those are the areas you're not supposed to worry about discipling your people. But on one hand, we say Jesus is Lord of all, and then with the next breath, we say, but I can't talk about that in church. Can't talk about sex in church or economics in church or civil government in church. Well, nonsense. If Jesus is Lord of all, then we are supposed to be discipling our people in every facet of life. And that's what we introduce to these pastors. And then we begin to educate them on these subjects because they've never been taught. So we show them in the Bible, chapter and verse, what the Bible actually says about the role of civil governing authority versus church government, family government, and self-government. you know, there's not just the president or the mayor or the governor. There's also self-government, family government, church government. And you've got to put in the proper category the proper responsibility. You know, it's up to me to choose to whether I bend my knee and accept Christ or not. That's part of self-government. And the governor can't make that decision for me. The president can't make that decision for me. That's part of self-governance. And just like that, everything that we have in life, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. We've got to put into the proper category of which area of government is responsibility for making that decision. So we teach pastors about civil government. We teach them about economics. Then on the second day, we teach them about some of the current cultural issues. And, of course, over the last 4 years, we were heavy on the World Economic Forum, which is an effort that's still out there that they want to establish a one-world global government, which, of course, for every Christian, that rings a bell, because most prophecy teachers understand that that's going to be the ultimate goal of the Antichrist's brief rise in power. But we teach about the World Economic Forum. We were teaching about COVID and the truth about COVID. We were on to the truth of COVID within a month of it being introduced in the United States. So we were on this very early. But today there are things that we need to be aware of. And one you just mentioned, anti-Semitism is something we've got to be aware of. And then on the third day, we actually have a plan of action. We have some simple next steps that we tell these pastors, go home and put these into practice. And we can't make you do it. We ask you, if you've been convinced by what you've seen and heard over these 2 or 3 days, as you're enjoying a luxury vacation in a luxury establishment for the big price of $99, you know, thanks to Art Alley and Timothy Plan, his generosity and some others, you know, we are able to heavily subsidize these. So all we ask for a pastor and his wife is a $99 registration fee, and then everything else is covered. 6 meals, 3 nights hotel stay in a lovely hotel, come and have a second honeymoon, and at the same time meet some great people and learn some things. It'll give you a lot of new sermon material. But they actually give them next steps. And, Sandy, I just came back from a pastor's meeting. We had a group of about 30 pastors from across the country that met in Lake Wales, Florida, in one of our graduate pastors' churches, wanting to establish an affiliation between us, to create a permanent network called Remnant Churches, and we're embassies for the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I was so encouraging. Every one of these men had the same testimony. None of them had been active culturally, but then then we came to a Liberty Pastors camp, and we heard the words, "What part of your life is Jesus not the Lord over?" And that just sunk in, and my eyes opened up, and now we've got some of these pastors that are in the Florida legislature. We've got some of these pastors that serve in the city of Houston, the city council, and quite frankly, Houston could be, there's more people living in the city of Houston than live in all of Oklahoma. We've got members that are mayors. They've taken stands, and their cities have not One, this man named Jack Yilegoss, first thing he did as mayor of Lake Wales was in the month of June, instead of celebrating Gay Pride Month, he celebrated Strong Families and Fathers Month along with Ron DeSantis. And now his entire county has followed that lead, and none of the cities in that county recognize Gay Pride Month anymore. And there's a revival breaking out there. It's really amazing.
It is amazing.
That's what the pastors' camps are all about, teaching comprehensive biblical worldview.
All right, let me jump in to give more detail here, because the one that's coming up is in Williamsburg, Virginia. You still have spots there, spots left? For this one?
It is almost full. I would encourage people to try. We may be full, but that's coming up in just a couple of weeks. So Williamsburg, Virginia, and then, of course, Lake Mary, Florida, just after that.
Yes. I'm going to give people an idea of the kind of people that you bring in, Paul. You got Dr. Malone, Robert Malone, who's a good friend. Mm-hmm. He's on this show a lot. He's a national treasure. Anyway, he's coming in. And also, you got Alex Newman, who is the president of Liberty Sentinel Media and a senior editor at The New American. Lots of things. Kevin Freeman, good friend, host of Economic War Room for The Blaze, who just pushed that effort to allow people to trade with gold. And then Rick Green, a former Texas state representative. He's a familiar person to AFR Talk listeners. He's the speaker for David Barton's Wall Builders. Rick is just terrific.
Right.
And he runs Patriot Academy. And Winsome Sears, who was the attorney, our lieutenant governor of Virginia. And by the way, Paul, I just heard this morning that President Trump is going to endorse her. She's in a really tough. She's in a really tough race. Okay, so that's Williamsburg. But let me tell people how they can get in touch with you. It's libertynetwork.live. Libertynetwork.live will take you to the Liberty Pastors, all the things that they're doing.
Yep.
Now, Lake Mary, Florida, is one coming up in September. And then you have, what, Bay Harbor, Michigan, November? So I just want people to get an idea.
And these are so important. And in fact, one of the reasons we're in Virginia is we're working with the Virginia Family Policy Council up there. And there is an effort in Virginia that to actually put in their state constitution liberalizing abortion and making Virginia like an abortion destination state. And the House of Burgesses there, I think, is what they have in Virginia. I think it's just one house. But right now it's a 51-49. Democrat to Republican edge. And of course, sadly, there's just no pro-life Democrats anymore. So there is a real effort being made to try to get that to a point to where they can beat down this attempt to murder babies without limits in the state of Virginia. So this is a real key battle, and that's the reason we're going to the state of Virginia next, because there's going to be a lot of repercussions from the elections coming up this year. And, of course, they do have off-year elections. They'll be electing their governor. And in the state of Virginia, it's interesting, governors can only serve one term. So Youngkin has been there, but he can only serve one term. And, of course, Winsome Sears, I believe, to be a very honorable woman, seems to be a woman that loves God and loves liberty. So obviously we are honored to have her speaking to this group of pastors. And then, as you mentioned, of course, Bob McEwen, former congressman, a legend, will be teaching about economics. We'll have Matt Staver. Of course, the Supreme Court has finally corrected the errors from the early 60s and early 70s, where, quite frankly, that was an activist court just creating law out of whole cloth. And now they have actually read the Constitution and gone back and rescinded some very bad judgments, which in case law have allowed them to do all sorts of things that violate the Constitution. So we have some great religious liberty opportunity now, and we have our good friend Matt Staver will be there sharing that truth with our pastors as well.
Wow. So I just wanted people to know how rich and thick the whole thing is. And so I want to say again, go to libertynetwork.live. And remember, for pastors and their wives, it's only $99. And that's because it's underwritten by Art Ally and others. And so Timothy Plan is a sponsor of this show, so they can kind of see firsthand where Timothy Plan is spending its money. And so Art, personally, I'm not sure how that works. But anyway, I don't want to misspeak on that.
Yeah,
but,
Okay,
so Paul, let's pivot just for a second, because you and I often talk about things, and I am most exorcised about, Israel first. Let's just touch on some issues.
Sure.
And so I think in order to do that, to make the point, I got this, I'm part of Tucker Carlson's network. I've known Tucker since he was very young. I used to host Crossfire, if you can believe that, back when it was live at George Washington University. I did it about three times, and that's how I met Tucker, because I used to be a frequent guest on that. So I have great affection for him. But something's not right. You've been probably hearing about that. And he just sent this out from his network, and it says, death traps. That's how retired U.S. Green Beret Tony Aguilar describes aid sites in Gaza. He would know. He's one of the few Americans who's been to them. After 25 years in the military, Aguilar signed up to distribute aid to Palestinians suffering through their region's latest war. He proceeded to witness something worse than anything he had seen in a dozen combat zone deployments. Humans treated like animals. Machine guns and tank rounds fired into crowds. The slaughter of civilians. The ugly and underreported truth is that the Israeli government is committing these atrocities, and the United States is supporting them. Okay, so that's what Tucker says. We don't need to talk about this in particular. I would say that U.S. Green Beret Tony Aguilar has since been exposed as a fraud, This is all happening in the last week.
Absolutely.
It's total. Yeah. But this is the stuff that people are saying, Christians too.
Well, it's not a surprise. It actually is biblical. I mean, Satan hates the nation of Israel. And the reason being is God is not done with the nation of Israel. Now, when you if you look in anywhere in the Old Testament, and quite frankly, we Christians need to remember that the Bible does not start with Matthew chapter 1. That's the 40th book in the Bible. Nobody would pick up a book and begin reading in the 40th chapter. The whole Bible is one progressive revelation. It's one story. And you cannot possibly understand the New Testament without understanding the Old Testament. And as you read through the books of prophecy, God says that he is going to chastise his people Israel. And let me just give you one. I would invite every member of your audience just to pick up their Bibles right now and read Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37. And you will see exactly what's going on. The story of the Valley of Dry Bones, the story of the two sticks. And the Bible explains what those stories mean. We're not left to guess. But the Bible tells us that God was going to punish Israel, and he was going to drive them out of their land for a long time. And we found that to be almost two millennia. But the Bible says that in the last days, he was going to draw the Jews out of every nation from around the world and bring them back into their land. And it literally says they'll be standing as a mighty army, but it uses this term. There would be no ruach in them, which is the Hebrew word for spirit or life. In other words, they'll be back in the land and a mighty army, but spiritually dead. And there will be one nation, no longer Judah and Samaria, but just one Israel. And it says that they would occupy the land that God had given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's the original land that's there from the border to the sea, that they would be back in their land, and they would even rebuild the waste cities and rename them by the same names. Now, that's exactly what we see. We see Israel back in that land. We see them a mighty army, but yes, they are spiritually dead. Those that survive this coming tribulation period, which we can talk about another time, and are at Armageddon, when you know, there's the thing that was confusing to the Jews, and quite frankly, I understand it. The prophet Zechariah said, "You'll recognize your king. Here's how you're going to know him." And then it gave two different appearances. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Your king's going to come riding into the city of Jerusalem humbly, bringing salvation, riding on the colt of a donkey over the Mount of Olives." Well, yeah, he absolutely did that. But then you go five chapters later in Zechariah 14, and it describes Armageddon. And it says Jerusalem is going to be the epicenter where all the nations of the world are coming together to wipe out the Jews. And when it looks like they're going to be successful, they're going to cry out to God. And Jesus, well, we know that it's Jesus, but the Messiah will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and actually stand on the Mount of Olives and destroy the enemies of Israel at that point in time. And then Zechariah says specifically, those that remain will look at him and they will say in their celebration, "Where did you get the nail prints in your hands?" And then they'll recognize what they did 2,000 years ago. But God is not done with Israel. The confusion was there two messiahs, as some concluded, Messiah ben Joseph, Messiah like Joseph, who was beaten up by his brothers and sold into slavery and eventually rose to power, and the Messiah ben David, or like David, who was a powerful king. Well, there's not two messiahs. There's one Messiah that's coming twice. He came the first time as a suffering sacrifice and gave his life as the Lamb of God. Next time he comes is to rule and reign as King of Kings. And we are in that period in between. We call it the Age of Grace, or we call it affectionately the Church Age, which was hidden in the Old Testament. But everything that's going on in Israel is exactly what the Bible said would be going on. When you look back historically, the church was 100% Jewish at Pentecost. In fact, early on, the question was not whether a Gentile could become a Jew could become a Christian, but whether a Gentile could become a Christian and whether he needed to be circumcised or not. But by the end of the first century, when John, who was the last living apostle, died, in that next 100 years, the church began to be almost 100% Greek. And rather than having that Hebraic worldview, as we talked about a little while ago, understanding that we're to glorify God in everything that we do, they were greatly affected by Greek thought. Well, Jerusalem wasn't destroyed finally in 70 AD. There was actually another rebellion in 135 AD where the Romans crushed Israel. They had led a revolt again and had temporarily thrown off Rome, and then Rome crushed them. Well, if you're a Christian of Greek descendants or Greek lineage in 138, now you're going, wow, there is no Israel. In fact, Jerusalem was renamed another name. Israel itself was renamed Syria-Palestina. That's where we get the term Palestinians. It came from 135 when the emperor of Rome renamed that area. Well, early Christians were going, well, now what? What do we do with the Old Testament? Because all it does is talk about Israel. Well, one man, an early church father who was a heretic named Marcion in Rome, he said, we just need to do away with the Old Testament altogether. That's not even our God. This is vengeful, mean God. That's not even who we worship. Well, fortunately, that idea was rejected. But still, what do you do with the Old Testament? Because all it does is talk about Israel, 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 and the land. Well, beginning about 150, really with Justin Martyr, and then being cemented by the time of Augustine, with Origen, a church father, in between, they, instead of taking the Old Testament literally, with a literal Messiah ruling and reigning from the throne in Jerusalem, they began to allegorize the Old Testament. Well, when it's talking about Zion, that's not really meaning Zion. That means heaven. And when it's talking about Israel, that's not really talking about Israel. That means us. That's the church. And, you know, maybe for 1,500 years that made sense because you look on the map and there was no Israel. But then by, you know, the early part of the 1900s, you see the Zionist movement and the Jews coming back in the land. And then May the 14th, 1948, and you see Israel back in the land. Well, people could either rethink their eschatology and say, well, you know, perhaps I was wrong in how we were interpreting the Old Testament. I'm going to correct myself, or you can just get mad about it. And quite frankly, there are many Reformed churches. There are many that came out of that movement. Now, typically, we see evangelicals, we see charismatics. Most of the time, we see Baptists have loved Israel and have had a proper view of a literal millennial reign of Christ. But those that fall into the camp of allegorizing, the amillennialists, do not like the existence of Israel because it flies in their face. Therefore, they say these aren't really Jews and they're apostates and they're not supposed to be in the land. And I've met some of these people. I've never seen, I've had conversations with them. You just see fire in their eyes. There's such hatred for the Jew and for the existence of Israel. But that's where this whole anti-Semitic movement that we're seeing today actually happened. It goes back to about 150 AD, where the church decided we no longer read the Old Testament literally. We're going to begin to allegorize it. And that was exactly what Augustine based all of his theology on. And quite frankly, he said some things that were brilliant, but about half of what he said was just bat crazy and idiotic.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I gave you that time, Paul, because I think that's an that's a down payment of what people will learn. I mean, that's just a taste of the kinds of things that you teach at the Liberty Pastors training camps. And the issue of Israel, I'm just grieved at the lack of understanding. Yeah. And actually, it's not just lack of understanding; it's turning into what you described. A hostility and a hatred by Christians themselves. Yeah. So we have to stop that, among other things. Next time we'll talk about all the confusion on all the other issues, Paul. But today we'll stop with that. But let me just tell you, Liberty Pastors Training Camps, again, you can go to libertynetwork.live. And the one coming up in Virginia, August the 18th, you can come for $99 if you're a pastor with your wife. And it's always at a beautiful luxury hotel, but the price is just amazing. Lake Mary, Florida is coming up in September. And then Michigan, where's the place in Michigan? Bay Harbor.
Bay Harbor, Michigan. Lovely, lovely Bonvoy Resort up there, right on the Great Lakes from November 3rd through November the 6th.
God bless you, Paul. You teach everyone who knows you. Your life is such a testimony. I just thank you for your friendship and thank you for what you're doing for the kingdom. You inspire me. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right, very good. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe versus Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this. And you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As I've mentioned before, everyone seems to hate the state of Israel these days, mostly coming from the left, but some people on the right have joined. And I've been broadly supportive of the state of Israel, not really as an ideological matter, but as a matter of prudence. And you're losing me. You're losing me. When you strike churches, the only church in Gaza, even if accidentally, but especially if not accidentally, you're losing me. If you're losing Mike Huckabee, the Israeli government is really screwing up, is really not playing its cards right.
All right, that's Michael Knowles. Got a great voice, doesn't he? But here's the problem. Michael Knowles is a Roman Catholic, and he had just heard the Pope announce that this church in Gaza, the Catholic Church, the only one there, had been attacked by Israel. And it was a lie. It's still a lie. The Pope is lying to his people. So Catholics have been up in arms about this. We have the same thing in Protestantism, only it's more of the silence. Our pastors are silent. Our pastors can't seem to figure out what the Bible does say about Israel. And some of them that think they figured it out are some of the reformists who believe that the promises of God don't apply to Israel. And that, thus the apostasy, thus the confusion. And so that is what I'm all about. This has been a passion for me since I started on radio years ago. And when I came back to AFR Talk about 12 years ago, it was more of a passion than ever. And that was to help Christians navigate this complicated world. How should we feel about illegal immigration, about illegal immigrants? How should we feel about the fact that it is pretty hot? So how should we feel about that? Does that mean there is global warming? Does that mean the government should jump in? Can we stop storms? And then this whole thing of, I don't think most Christians are confused about the gender issue, but I think they have really colored over the lines when it comes to the roles of men and women and when it comes to lesbianism and gay men. I think they've colored outside the lines because they have left the truth of God's word. That's what we have to come back to, God's truth, because God's truth is the center and the core for all of us. It is the foundation of life. And so I hope we gave you a little taste. I want to remind you that Liberty Pastors training camps happen, I believe, all year long. The next one's coming up August the 18th to the 21st in Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm going to be there. Bruce and I are going to be there. We're looking forward to that. But if you're interested in what Paul is talking about, you're a pastor and his wife, just drop everything. $99. You can do that. You can do that. Go to libertynetwork.live. That's libertynetwork.live. And by the way, at that, you can also hear Paul preach at his church in Edmond, Oklahoma, and also Orlando, Florida. And all kinds of resources are there. Talk about, they have a Liberty University. So there's all kinds of things that they offer. But the training camp camps are certainly there, too. And I just encourage you to tell your pastor. This would be such a good thing, wouldn't it? A scriptural foundation, a rediscovery of the faith in God's Word and our view on these issues. All right, well, I'm done, and I want to thank everybody for listening. And I also want to thank Timothy Plant, as they sponsor the Liberty Pastors Training Camp. They also sponsor this show. And they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.